We're opening our Bibles this evening in the book of 2 Kings and the chapter number 5. 2 Kings and the chapter 5, let's follow the reading of God's infallible and God's precious word together. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And the one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so that when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth. He went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned, and he went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My master, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel.'" I'm going to end our reading there. We know that God allowed his blessing to his infallible truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word this evening, and I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will lead us into all truth. We pray that thou will help us to rightly divide the word of truth. We pray that thou will give us the liberty that we need to preach and present Christ, Christ Jesus alone. We thank thee that he's not only a Savior, but we thank thee he's the only Savior. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' precious name that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of the word, and for those that are here in this congregation and those that are listening in, we pray that there be those that are not saved. Oh God, this night turn them to Jesus Christ. And so tonight I pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray for the covering of the precious blood, protection, of the Saviour himself. And I pray it in his precious name. Amen. When you come to the Word of God, there are many wonderful characters that we find, and it would be profitable to look at every one of them. But the one that the Spirit of God has directed me tonight is in 2 Kings chapter 5, and it's to a person whose name is Naaman. A man whose life was changed completely through the witness of a little girl. It is no secret what God can do, friend. He can take the simplest instrument and he can use it for his honor and his glory. And so we're going to look at the life of a man whose life was changed through the witness of a teenage man, a teenage girl. Now let's look at this passage, get your Bibles, and we'll follow down this passage of God's word. The first thing I want you to notice the man. It says in verse number 1, now Naaman. There he is. Now the name Naaman means pleasantness. That's what his name means. And friend, as you read this passage of God's word and you read the story of Naaman, in many ways in the opening verse he would live up to his name. Sometimes people have a great name, but boy, they don't live up to it. But here we find a person whose name is pleasantness, and as you see him here, you'll find in many ways he was pleasant. You'll notice the man, first of all, his position. For the word of God says he's captain of the hosts of the king of Syria. Ben-Hadad was the king of Syria. And here this man, Naaman, had a position. It was an honored position. I believe it was a position that he merited. He was the commander-in-chief. He would have been the five-star general of the Syrian army. That was the position he held in prominence. But then the word of God says not only about his position, it talks about his popularity. Because it says here he was a great man with his master. And so he was popular. He was the master's favorite. Probably he was second in rank of importance to the king. He was a man who was held in high esteem. Even with the king, this ungodly king, he held Naaman in high esteem. And then you notice it says, and honorable. There's his prestige. Because he was highly respected, not only by the king, but also, I believe, that those who were under his command. The word honorable there is the word gracious. Now, it's not often that you get a person who's the five-star general, who's the top of the tree, as it were, of soldiers, to be looked upon as a person who's noted as gracious. Because quite often, they're very forceful because of the position they hold, and they're anything but gracious. And yet the Bible records it here. Here was the prestige of this man. He was a person who was respected by those who were under his command. The word also is not only gracious, it could mean cultured, a noble man, one who was promoted to the highest trust. In other words, he was a man of integrity. And that quite often is missing in life even today. So we've looked at him, we see his position, we see his popularity, we see his prestige, but also we see his performance. Because it says here, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Here was a man, he was a conquering man. He was a man that led the army into the battle. He was there in the forefront of the battle. And he indeed, the word of God says, he gave deliverance unto Syria. So he had victories. His performance was a victorious leader. But do you notice what the word of God says about this? It says, by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Because this man had not done this of his own. This man was not simply a great leader in his own right, but here was a man that God was willing to use. And God gave deliverance to Syria through this man. But God was in it. You see, God can use any instrument. God used Pharaoh. God used kings in the past. God used nobodies. Because God can do all things in his sovereign plan. In actual fact, God used him to slay Ahab, who was the wicked king of Israel. And God brought deliverance to Israel. Because Israel had been brought under the judgment of God because of their sin. And they reaped what they sowed. And the consequence was that they were defeated. But God brought deliverance to Syria through this man. But then there's something else about him. There's his power. Because it said he was a mighty man. He was a mighty man of valor. He was a courageous man. He was a man that never flinched whenever he was facing the battle. He was a man that had nerves of steel. A giant of a man, fearless, daring, brave, had fortitude. Even when he faced danger, friend, he was willing to face it courageously. In actual fact, if you were in a battle, he was the man that you wanted to be by your side. That's the man. But wait. That's not all that verse says. Look at it again. But. And what comes after this, my friend, listen, casts a shadow over all the rest of the details. Because whenever you finish the verse, it says, this great mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. He was a leper. Think of the misery. You know, here was a man that led many an army into conflict and into victory. Brought deliverance to Syria. But someone spoiled all of that. Some little thing, my friend, overshadowed the rest of the details, and his affliction would rob him of the joy of his accomplishments. He used to ride around in his chariot, and people would bow before him. But isn't it amazing how quickly life can change? And you and I know people around us, friend, and listen, they're living healthy as far as the eye can see, and then, like that, they're gone. Here was a man, and the Bible says he was a leper. He was a man that was able to do everything. He was a man of power. And yet, he's powerless to do anything for himself. Listen, here's a man that's burdened with a disease. His days are numbered. And there's nothing he can do about it. Oh, I tell you, we've seen that story written over and over again. Many a man I remember as a young lad being invited to take a mission down outside Moira. Remember a big businessman, a multimillionaire, was one of the men, and whenever at nights it was raining, he was out there with his wellingtons on, and he was out helping to put the bales down around the tent and all the rest of it. And then shortly after that, he took ill. I remember going to the Royal Victoria Hospital and standing at his bedside, friend, and he's lying on the machine. He was worth a fortune. But it wasn't worth that. Not that. And all of that verse, all of the characteristics of this man, a gracious, a pleasant, a mighty man of valor, but one little word makes all the difference. But he was a leper. You know, leprosy in Bible times was a horrible disease. The amazing thing about leprosy is this, friend. It begins within. And then it appears on the surface. It begins just as a little speck on the flesh. Just a little mark. And then it spreads. In an insignificant beginning. It wasn't even observable to the eye of man until it finally appears. You read the book of Leviticus, and the Bible has a lot to say about leprosy. In actual fact, a leprosy was an awful disease because a man was not only facing death, friend, but he was cast out. He was put outside the town. He was put away from his family. Even his friends would not associate with him. And here was a man, a mighty man, that rode about in chariots. And then something appears. It's diagnosed leprosy. And friend, he's going to be isolated if he's not healed. He's going to be a castaway if he's not healed. Even the king that loved this man would put him away. Yes, he was a leper. I have no doubt that the king tried everything for this man's healing. You remember the wee woman in the scriptures? And the Bible said that she had the issue of blood for those 12 years. And the Bible says she spent all. And yet after spending everything, listen, she was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She tried many physicians. And I have no doubt, this man and the king, they tried many physicians to heal Naaman from his leprosy. But he wasn't healed. Now, leprosy in Scripture will remind us of a greater disease. Sin. And friend, let me tell you, sin, just like leprosy, it begins inside. Because we're sinners in heart. And then it's evidenced outside. Because the evidence of our sin is evidenced before mankind. And the Word of God says, all have sinned. And with our sin, we have got an incurable disease. For the Word of God says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, desperately sick. Who can know it? You can't even imagine how sick a person was. And yet here was a man, he was riding around in his chariot. And everybody thought everything was grand. And yet he's facing death. Men and women that were living among. Let me tell you, my friend, they're riding around in their chariots as if nothing was wrong. And yet they're sinners. This man realized he had leprosy. But there are so many tonight in Macrafelt, in our community, and they do not realize it. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 6. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been bound up, neither have been multiplied with ointment. And there's nothing man can do of himself to heal his sin sick soul. Notice all of that. One of a reputation. Great man. Captain. Honorable. Brought deliverance to Syria. Mighty man in valor. But a leper. Do you remember the man that came to the feet of Jesus one day? Young man, he was a rich young ruler. And he ran to the feet of Christ for him. And he knelt down and he looked into the eyes of the Savior. And he said, "Good master, what should I do that I might inherit eternal life?" The Bible says the man had great possessions. Jesus looked at him and he said, "One thing thou lackest." Friend, that one thing took him to hell. Took him to hell. He wasn't willing to turn to Christ from his sin. He wasn't willing to forsake his sin because he loved his possessions more than anything else, and he was willing to hold on to his possessions and go to hell with them. No, he didn't go to hell with them. He left them behind and went to hell. Just like every other sinner. You leave everything behind. There's the man. Quickly, notice verse 2. We'll come to something with else. Not the man, the maid. And it says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife." There's two things I want you to notice about that wee maid. And probably many people don't want to notice much about her. But listen, notice her test. The Bible says she was brought away captive out of the land of Israel. Once she was in her home with her family. And the Syrians entered into Israel and had taken away the spoil. One of the spoil, just like a bit of goods, was a wee teenage girl. Oh, I'm sure she cried. I'm sure she begged them. I'm sure the parents said, "Don't take her." And she said, "I don't want to go." But they took her captive, the Bible says. Yes, captive. They captured that wee girl. And the interesting thing is this, my friend. That wee girl could have been bitter because of what happened to her. But she wasn't. Because notice, instead of being bitter, she became a blessing. And I say this before God in life. Life will do one or two things, friend, as a child of God. Life will make you either bitter or better. One or the other. Now tell me, what are you willing to let life do? Are you going to walk around with a chip on your shoulder and be angry with everything and anybody and everybody, even yourself? Even fall out with yourself. Because life, you say, "My circumstances is not like somebody else's." No, friend. Here was a girl, her life was changed, turned upside down. Her life and circumstances was changed completely. She was a wee lassie at home, and now she's taken captive into a foreign land, and she becomes a wee maid. Now she's not looked upon as a daughter, she's just a maid. That's her test. I said there were two things. Notice her testimony. Because here's a girl, it says in verse number 3, whenever she heard what happened to Naaman and that he was dying, he was facing death, and here was a man that indeed had taken her away captive. What's she going to do? "Shall not help him. Look what he did to me." No, she became a blessing. And she said, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." There was her testimony. And even though she was taken away into captivity, listen, she still held her testimony. for God. Friend, let me tell you, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your troubles, Tim, are you holding your testimony? Can the world see Jesus in you? Do they see the love of Jesus in the things that you do? And here's a wee lassie, and she had a godly upbringing, and she had a faith that carried her above her circumstances, and she never forgot her Lord. And you know, there's a wee chorus, bright in the corner where you are. That's what she did. Her test, her testimony, the main. It's amazing, you know, what a child can do, the testimony of a child. A father one time was an ungodly father. He had no time for the things of God. His little child loved Jesus. She begged her father to come to the house of God, but he wouldn't come. And then there was a mission in her church, and she wanted to get her dad onto the gospel to see her daddy saved. The wee lassie invited her daddy into the father's house. I'll go one night and that's it. And the mission was nearly over, and was near the last Friday night of the mission. She walked up the steps of the church with her daddy, holding her daddy by the hand. Walked into the porch of the church. And just as she was about to walk into the church itself, she stepped one step back and put her hand on her daddy's back. And she said, "Here he is, Jesus. Save him." The witness of a child. There's a girl with a testimony. Have you? And then notice thirdly, the mistake. Because you'll notice mistakes happened here. Because it said, verse number 3, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria." And one went in, verse 4, and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel." Verse 5, "And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." She never mentioned the king. That wasn't the message of the wee girl. She didn't talk about the king. She said about the man of God, the prophet of God. And here was the first mistake. Naaman was sent to the wrong person. King Jehoram, he read the letter that was sent. And you know, whenever he looked at the letter, he was angry. Because he said, "This king's trying to make argument with me, pick a fight with me." But friend, it wasn't the king he needed. It was God he needed. And friend, tonight, let me tell you this. If you're a sinner in this meeting tonight, you're not saved. I tell you, it's not the church you need. It's not baptism you need. It's not confirmation you need. It's not rituals you need. It's not ceremonies you need. It's Christ you need. He was sent to the wrong person. He was sent to the king instead of the man of God. You know, sometimes whenever people get into trouble and their back's against the wall, they go to the minister. Maybe they're facing death. Maybe say, "I better go to church." None of those things can save, friend. Only Jesus. Sent not only to the wrong person, that was the first mistake. Here's the second mistake. Go to verse number 5. "And the king sent a letter unto the king of Israel, and he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." Listen, he came with the wrong means. He brought gold and silver to buy his healing. And let me tell you, my friend, many men and women think that if I pay into the church that somehow that's going to merit me in the sight of God. that somehow God is going to be pleased with me and that my giving to the church will get me an entrance into heaven, friend. No. If that's all you've got, it'll take you to hell. The Word of God says in 1 Peter, listen, ye are not redeemed with corruptible things. Corruptible things! Such as silver and gold. You say, but silver and gold doesn't corrupt. Listen, perishable things. They lose their value. Listen, go to the side of a coffin, friend, and put £1 million beside it. The man will not reach out his hand to take a penny. It's of no use. Perishable thing. You are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver as gold. And here we find the king says, listen, take gold, take silver, take raiment, take gifts. You can't buy your way to heaven, friend. The only one who paid the price of our redemption was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Salvation's the free gift of God. I thank God you don't have to pay for salvation. Thank God all you got to do is receive the gift of salvation. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he came with a wrong commendation. Because it says in verse number 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel. Now when his letter came to them, behold, I have sent therewith, sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. You know, he's my servant, and I'm the king. You heal him for my sake. Let me tell you, friend, a letter of recommendation or commendation couldn't heal him. In actual fact, the king thought he was picking a fight with him. There was a mistake. Tell me, what mistake are you making? You tried to get to heaven your way. God says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof. It may seem right to you, but the end thereof is the way of death. You say, well, I'll try it my way. Let me tell you, my friend, your way will never take you to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we've looked at the man, we've looked at the maid, we've looked at the mistakes. Let's come to the message. Because verse 8 says, and it was so when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. That's what Jesus says. Let him come now to me. You remember the father that went to the disciples and his son had been possessed of the devil. And the devil would throw him into the fire. The devil tried to destroy the young lad's life. And the father brought the boy to his disciples. He said, we want you to him to be healed. Pray that he would be healed. But they could not. Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James and John from the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw this disturbance going on, and the Savior wanted to know why it was so. And then they told him, and the Father cried to the Savior. You know what Jesus says? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. And friend, the Father did. And the lad was healed. You see, there's only one that can help you tonight. And here's the servant of God. And my, the king is so angry. He actually rips his clothes. He rents his clothes. Elisha said, why did you rent your clothes? Send him to me. Send him to me. Let him come now to me that he may know that there's a prophet in Israel. That's the invitation. Verse 9. So Naaman came. He came, in actual fact, notice how he came. He came with his horses and with his chariot. And even though he was a leper, he still thinks he's the big man. He rides in his horse, his horses and his chariot, up to the door of the man of God. And he waits there at the door for the man of God to come out to him. Notice, he came and waited, or stood at the door of the man, or the door of the house of Elisha. No humility in him. He waited for Elisha to come out, the prophet, come to me. To me. He was a leper. And with leprosy, people would run away from him. But the prophet didn't come out. But he sent a messenger. You know, God in his sovereignty and God in his mercy, God just simply, in these days, God sends messengers, just like me, that through the foolishness of preaching, God will save them that believe. Friend, I can do nothing for you. I can't save you. Thank God I can point you to the one who can. The prophet of God could do nothing for Elisha. But praise God, he knew the one who could. And so the message that came from the man of God was this, verse number 10. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. A very simple message, wasn't it? Didn't need a dictionary to understand that one. Go wash. You see, leprosy makes you unclean. And needed washed. And friend, the leprosy of sin makes every one of us unclean. That's why we need it cleansed. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It was a simple message. It was a definite message. Listen, he said, go wash 7 times. Thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. Not a doubt about it. It's definite. Remember the Philippian jailer? Philippian jailer came. Paul and Silas, when the old prison house had been shaken, and he comes and he falls down before them. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was simple and the answer was definite. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not a doubt about it. You come to Christ, friend. Thank God he won't turn you away. She's got a message. Clear. So what did he do? Verse 11. He was wroth. Angry. And he went away. He turned. He turned his back on the messenger that was sent with a message from God. And he went away angry. Behold, he said in verse 11. Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me. And stand and call in the name of his God and the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Yes, he wrote his own prescription. Do you notice that? He was Mr. Doctor himself. He had planned how it was going to be. I thought that he would come out to me. Notice no humility. He's still a proud man. Let me tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus looked up onto the tree one day when he was passing along the road outside Jericho, and there's a wee man up the tree, and Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down out of the tree. And dear unsaved person tonight, I'll tell you, you've got to come down out of the tree of your pride. And take your place as a sinner. Or you'll take your sin and go to hell. You'll either come God's way or you'll not come at all. The message is very clear. The message is very simple. He says, I thought he'd come to me. Can you see it? Beautiful chariot. There he's standing. The horses holding up their head. The servants. A leper. But he doesn't know how serious it is. And know what he said? Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He says, I will not. I'll not come God's way. Let me tell you, my friend, the saddest verse in the Bible, I believe, is this. When the Lord Jesus Christ, the lover of sinners, said these words, ye will not come to me that you might have life. He reached out his hand in love and mercy to sinners, and he says, come to me. And those hands are marred by nail prints, the marks of Calvary. But man says, I will not come. And here we find that this man, Naaman, with all his pleasantness, boys, he's lost his pleasantness now, hasn't he? He's angry. Next, in fact, the Bible says he's wroth. And there it says he went away in a rage. How many men and women come into gospel meetings like this and hears a preacher preach the word of God, and my friend to get angry with the preacher and say, how dare he tell me that I'm a sinner? Let me tell you, my friend, God says it. I'm just the mouthpiece. It's God you're dealing with. Do you realize that? The God before whom you'll stand someday. And people go to hell because they're too proud to bow the knee and come for cleansing. Pride hates the truth that only Jesus Christ is the Savior. Pride hates the truth that only the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from sin. Pride hates the truth that we are saved by grace through faith with no merit. With nothing to offer. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. You see him, friend. He just turns those horses around. So angry. Puts the whip upon the back. Stands in his chariot. So angry, full of rage. How dare he not come out to me? I thought. And he's just about to go away. And the Bible says his servant said unto him. Verse number 13. The servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would you not have done it? That brings us to the miracle. The last point. How did the miracle happen, friend? Well, this is how God heals the sin-sick soul. First of all, repentance. Look at verse 13. My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst not thou have done it? How much rather then, when he said unto thee, wash and be clean. His servants challenged him. And you know, conviction, verse number 14. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. Yes, he humbles himself. Notice the change of mind. Change of heart. And friend, that's what has to happen before a soul is saved. There has to be the change of heart. Change your mind. They've got to repent of their sin. What did Jesus say? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. My friend, listen, you have got to submit yourself to God. If you're going to be saved, you'll be saved God's way. If you're going to go to heaven, it's God's heaven. And you go God's way, neither is there salvation in any other, the Bible says. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Listen, there's repentance. Then second, there's reliance. Because it says there in verse 14, he went down and he dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. According to God's word. Do you remember the night that the Philippian jailer was saved? Said, what must I do to be saved? And this is what it said. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Friend, you've got to come to God's word. Reliance. You rest your soul upon the word of God. God tells you the way of salvation. And you've got to trust him. Rest on his word. Repentance, reliance, redemption. It says this, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When he came God's way, he was clean. I led a man to the Lord, 90 years of age. And after I led him to the Lord, he looked me in the face and he said this to me with a smile on his face. He says, preacher, I feel clean. I says, you are. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And friend, when he humbled himself, listen, he lost his pride. But glory to God, he lost his plague. And glory to God, he gained purity. Clean as little child. Only God can do that. Church can't do that. Man can't do that. Preachers can't do that. Evangelists can't do it. Only God. And praise God, he's able to save you. But you know, man's heart, as reading that there, and I said to myself, how hard is man's heart? Whenever he was told a simple way, but boy, he thought he had a better way. And he wouldn't break. Thank God, God broke him. Reminds me of a man way there in Georgia, in the United States of America. His little boy loved Jesus as a Savior. He talked to his daddy so often, but his daddy, something happened in his life, friend. He turned his back on the things of God and hated them. One Sunday morning, the wee boy said to his daddy, he says, Daddy, I want you to come to church. I want you to come to church with me, Daddy. He'd asked him so many times before. But the daddy was sitting on the front porch and he was reading the paper. Told his son to get out of his sight. He wouldn't be going to that place. He wasn't going to church. The boy went into the wee back garden. For a little while he was playing with his wee ball in the back garden. And then he kicked the ball a number of times and the ball just happened to go over the fence and out onto the road. The wee boy ran after the ball. Father was sitting there, for the porch was overlooking the road. The wee boy ran out, and the next thing he heard, the screech of brakes and bang. The wee lad was lying there in front of the vehicle, dying. The father ran out and got the son in his arms, lifted him up, was carrying him into the room. The wee boy looked at his father and he said, Daddy, will you go to church with me now? And the wee boy died. His daddy knelt down beside the body of his little child. And he cried to God and he said, God, please, please forgive me. But friend, listen, it took the death of his child to break him. And I sometimes wonder, friend, what will God have to do to break you? What is God in love and God in mercy and God in grace? What is God to do to break you? Nothing was going to break this man so hard. But God stepped in and God broke him. I love this. We're through. It says verse number 11. Behold, I thought. But go down to verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and he stood before him and he said, behold, now I know. Not thinking anymore. He says, now I know that there's no God in all the earth but in Israel. Isn't God good, friend? God took a little girl. That's what she was. A wee lassie. A maid. In a foreign land. God took her. But they sent through. There's a highway evangelist in the States. His name was Henry Goodger. Goodger. And he rode a bicycle. And he rode for thousands of miles just handing out gospel tracts. That's what he did. Talking to people about Jesus. He was a bicycle evangelist. And one day, he was out doing it, and he rang a doorbell. And he rang it once and twice and three times and four times. He's just going to go away and somehow was urged to ring it another time, a fifth time. And then he says, I'll try it one more time. He rang it six times. And the door opened after the sixth time of ringing the bell. And the door just opened a little bit and a grumpy voice says, what do you want? He says, sir, I want to give you a message and to tell you the most wonderful words that you've ever heard. I want to tell you Christ died for you. He loves you. And he says, I want to give you this wee tract. The man took it and he slammed the door. And then he took it off his hinges. And Goodger went away. But you know, he was troubled. And rather than going on any further, some days after that, he says, I'm going back to that door. And he went back to that very same door. And he rang the bell. And immediately the door opened. The man inside, he says, come in. And Goodger, the evangelist, the bicycle evangelist, he came in and the man says, I want you to come with me. I want you to come upstairs. And he took him upstairs. And whenever he went upstairs, he took him up into the attic. And he pointed. And there in the attic was a rope with a loop on it at the end. And underneath it was a box. The man said, a few days ago, I was standing with that noose around my neck, standing on that box, had nothing to live for. I had no hope. And then he says somebody rang the bell. And there the rope was around my neck, and I'm standing in the box about to take the joint. And the bell not only rang once, it rang twice. And it rang three times, and it rang four times, and it rang five times. He said, I stopped. I stepped off the box, took the noose off my neck. And he said, I went down to the door. And he says, someone was standing there. And he says, I have something to tell you. The greatest news. That Christ died for you. And that he loves you. He handed me a gospel tract. Goodyear said it was me. And they sat down together. He said, you know, I read the tract and I thought of what you said and I gave my heart to Christ. He says, my life was changed. All because a man rang the bell a sixth time. Didn't let go. I'm saying to you, Mommy, Daddy, tonight, don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go of your child. Keep on witnessing. Keep on praying. Keep on loving. But don't let go. A little girl. God used her. Friend, God could use you too. Will you let him? Sinner, God can save you too. Will you come to him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this evening. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will write thy word upon every heart. We pray if there's one tonight and they're not saved, one backslidden, cold in heart, lost out with you, Lord. Maybe they're putting on a good face, but all's not well. Lord, you still love them. Never stop loving them. Never stop calling. Please, Lord, bring them. Bring them to Jesus. Friend, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, one little verse of a hymn. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Thank God, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all your sin. Will you come to him? As we sing this verse, if there's a man, a woman, boy or girl, and you say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know my sins forgiven. I want to be sure of heaven. Just as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and we sing this verse, just lift that hand above your head, friend. Indicate that desire. We're not going to embarrass you. But after the meeting's over, I'll gladly open the Word of God and show you how you can be saved or how you can be restored. Friend, don't go away. Don't go away. Thank God Naaman stopped. And my prayer is, please God, stop men and women now at the cross, just as I am. Let's sing it together.
Just as I am without.
One tonight in the service, you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved, I'd love to know Jesus, I'd love to be restored, come back to Jesus. You lift that hand right now as heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Then in God's name, don't walk away. Don't walk away from Jesus. Lamb of God, I come. Will you? Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' precious name, stop the sinner from going to hell. Stop the backslider from wasting their lives. Restore them to their first love. Bring them back to yourself. Do it for Jesus' sake. Amen.